did we just start? Sorry.
Yes.
North Salt Lake's Parks, Trails, Arts, and Recreation Advisory Board Agenda, meeting Tuesday, February 13th, 2018. Welcome, everybody. We will start with administrative updates. I had some information. I talked to a woman living near me in Foxborough, and she's interested in joining the board. So I referred her to James to see if that could potentially be his appointment. And he said he was already talking to someone else, so there may be two potentially there. Anybody else know of any other board member updates? Nope. Okay.
It was going out in the newsletter, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yep. In February?
Yeah, that newsletter goes out next week.
That's
so
great.
Will it go out? I think it goes to press on Thursday, which means it probably goes out Monday.
Okay. And then service hours updates from our last meeting 2 weeks ago. Ryan, how many hours do you think you worked on NSL Live between then and now?
3 to 4.
Okay. Lori, any?
Oh, a
couple.
Maybe
you did.
One.
Okay. Okay. I have a tentative calendar for us for. Did I write something on that? Here, you get that copy. Will you pass those around? That I want to go over with everyone. First issue item, the mayor has asked that we meet once a month, which I think is great. So I want to go through this calendar for the year and see if this fits for our needs and get any feedback. So starting in February, we're meeting now, and we'll meet again in 2 weeks. I propose that we move our monthly meeting then to the fourth Tuesday after that. So in March, we would meet Tuesday, March 27th. And then the Easter egg hunt, I'm assuming, is Saturday, March 31st.
Correct.
That's right? Okay.
That's right.
And then in April, we would meet just the one time, April 24th. And then in May, festival will be May 5th.
We'll be gone on the 24th, but I could just miss that meeting. The city council is leaving for their convention and city staff. So some of city staff support and
are you going,
council
Sally?
Will be
no.
gone.
Are you
so
going, David?
You're not going? Okay,
no,
then you guys,
really just
you'll be fine.
And me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we'll be fine.
Okay. Okay, so the Kite Festival then is May 5th. Just some updates regarding that. I've worked with, I think Cheryl's going to order the kites directly. I'm ordering more kites this year. We handed out just under 300 last year. And there's a great website that Steve ordered them from. I've organized for the same place. Marshall Taekwondo is going to come and do a demonstration, and Legacy Dance is going to send two of their dance teams to do a demonstration. And we'll have the kites, and I've been in touch with Wind of Change. That's the group that had that giant kite last year, to see if they're interested. They haven't gotten back to me yet. And then I'm going to see if we can get some food trucks or some food options that people would have there. But things are moving along for that.
Awesome.
So
this is really fun.
You're scheduled for 10 to noon, yeah, okay.
Yes.
Let me throw this out. Wrong place, wrong time, but the Arbor Day, you guys are going the week before. We were thinking about switching to this day, which I think would actually be kind of nice because we could kill a lot of stuff at the same time. Plus, our spring cleanup's going on that weekend, so we have access to all the garbage cans.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have a problem with if we did the Arbor Day that same day, like between 8 and 10.
No.
We should check with Lisa. I think those typically go a little longer than 2 hours.
They have in the past.
We could check with her.
What is it?
Arbor Day celebration. Have they picked where they want to do it this year?
Well, that's where they actually plant the trees.
They actually go and plant the trees.
I don't think Lisa
wants to do the better ratification stuff up there.
Oh, yeah.
Wild
right.
Yeah,
oh, she wants to do spurge. The
spurge removal.
Yeah. As part of the Arbor Day, because it's protecting those trees by removing this birch.
And then we plant some trees up there as well. So we've got a bunch of other stuff we could use still too. But.
Okay.
I mean, there's not necessarily a problem doing it on the same day. Because I think our staff is probably on Arbor Day and not necessarily on the Kite Festival.
Yeah.
The only problem would be if Lisa wanted to go to the Kite Festival, she might be tied up. But
are
I think
the
it's
other
a
council
great,
members?
It's a great day to do it.
Will the other council members be at the Arbor Day for that
there's
time?
There's usually four council members there.
Brian Horrocks will be there.
Yeah.
The mayor usually.
The mayor's always there. So it's usually really well attended. I think we just check. I think we could just reach out and check with Lisa and see when they're planning the Arbor Day celebration.
Okay. Well, we were planning, like I said, we had it kind of tentatively. Because the actual Arbor Day is the week before, but you guys are all gone, so.
If you have to clear the spurge out, isn't that the term it is, the spurge?
Uh-huh.
Don't we have to, like, bag it and remove it anyway? So having it on the cleanup,
that's
we can just
I
go
it.
And
yeah.
put it right into the city dumpster.
That's why I liked
the,
it. And we have staff there, even if, like, I mm-hmm. just get a couple guys up there
to help bag it
yeah.
and get it out.
So we've already got guys that we can utilize. So that's why I
liked
it.
I don't necessarily love that it will compete with people. Like, if you're going to be at the Kite Festival, you're not going to go do service. So I don't really love the idea of, like, a competing event. I do think you're right that having it in the, during the cleanup is the right time to do it.
Are we wedded to the 5th for the Kite Festival?
No. I can't do the 12th. I won't be in town, but I could do the week before.
So what area is
the council will be gone on the 28th, most likely. Some will return on the 27th, but some return on the 28th. So you might not have council support if
we
do it
not
on the 28th.
If it's on the 5th either, right?
But we might not if we do it on the 5th either.
What day did you say you couldn't do it?
The 12th.
There's the 19th or the 26th as well.
Does it frame me?
I think it would be safer
moving
it.
The 26th.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yes.
The 19th
might be better.
Yeah, do you want to do the 19th of May?
Sure.
For just a second.
For the Kite Festival then?
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to make that move.
That's fine. It's a good fit.
So May 19th. And then would it be possible as part of Arbor Day to send out a photo of Spurge? Because, I mean, I'm always tempted to pick something I think is Spurge when I'm hiking, but then I don't want to pick something that I'm not supposed to be. I think it might be nice for the city to know what it looks like.
Maybe even put it in the newsletter.
Yeah, I think you could probably figure something out. Probably do some public notification for it. That would be pretty easy. She sent me some pretty good
stuff.
Yeah,
she did.
So.
We could put something on the website, maybe.
So as we create our annual calendar, do we want to include things like Arbor Day, or do we want it to just be the NSL Live events that we are responsible for?
I think just ours, don't we?
We did just ours. I think they kind of, there's some overlap because we're helping with stuff, but I don't know. I kept it separate on our kind of calendar we've released at some level. Doesn't matter to me.
I like the idea of having like one location where residents can see all the events coming up, but maybe this isn't the page where they do that.
There aren't that many, right? It's Arbor Day,
yeah.
Get in the Water Day. What else is there?
Is the city going to do something for that this year?
Get in the river?
Yeah.
Yes.
September.
I'm sure they will. And I do think it makes sense to have all the city events in one easy spot. Just like add in Arbor Day. We aren't in charge of the NSL Easter egg
mm-hmm.
hunt either, and yet the Youth Council has it on our calendar. And so I think if we're gonna coordinate those events of like city events,
as a
resident, it'd make a lot more sense to see all city events on one list.
And the easier we make it, the more likely it is people will come.
Well, and it's like your cool note from last year. If you see Get in the River and you see, yeah, there you go. And you see Arbor Day all on there. It's like a comprehensive list of what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea. So at least I think we should have a comprehensive list online, like a calendar. But I want to create something like this for our this year. Should we also include that on this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
If it's going to be in one place, it should be in the other two.
I agree.
Alright. Okay. So then is that all for that
yes.
topic? Okay. So then we'll meet in Tuesday, May 22nd for NSL Live meeting in June, Tuesday, June 19th. That doesn't seem like it's the fourth Friday of that month.
It may have been done earlier because of all the other events that are going on.
Normally it'd be the 20th. The 26th. of June.
What would you like for that week? When
I think the 19th would be best for
okay,
the,
so keep
the
it there.
4th of July stuff.
Last couple of years, we've had multiple meetings usually before.
In June, yeah, June.
Yeah, as you're prepping.
Do you want us to do that?
What's the... that might be helpful.
We can call an additional meeting as
it
gets
later.
Closer. If you,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the city council meets on the 19th, so I would be indisposed, but that's okay. We could also meet the 12th and the 26th in preparation for that month, if that helps.
What's best for you?
That would work.
Whatever is best for you, because that is like your
It might take two
biggest
meetings
time.
In June.
The 12th might be a good idea. That way you could
mm-hmm.
schedule two.
Right.
Okay. And then the fun run 5K is on June 30th, 7 a.m., right? And then Festival of Speed that night also. And then July 3rd, fireworks. And our meeting, I was proposing the 31st because the 24th is a holiday, and I thought people would maybe want some weeks off after that month. August, we would start the second Sunday concert series. Shauna has scheduled most of these already. So for Sunday, August 12th, it's Bluegrass Thunder, a bluegrass band. And then we would meet Tuesday, August 28th.
Thank you.
September, second Sunday concert series, Army Band. And we would meet September 25th. And then I've had this Thursday in here before I talked to you. And we can kind of put this to be determined for September.
Okay, I'm close. I'm working with the publisher right now to get the author and the date lined up.
Okay. And then the Get in the River. Do you have any idea what weekend that is in September?
It's usually earlier, in like even in August, and then this last year they moved it to the end of September.
It used to always I was talking to Stan about it. It used to always be in the spring.
Yeah.
So it was like get in the river and like get excited about being there, you're gonna use it all the time. And then this year or last year they changed it to the end of the season. But I'll take an action item to meet with Stan and follow up as soon as we have
it'd
that
be better
find
if
out.
It were in May or June.
I know that
just the Jordan River
The Jordan River Commission
decides,
picks it, and so it's kind of at their whim. But I like that we support it and we kind of make it our own event as part of their whole event. We could also just set our own Get in the River event and just say it's part of, you know, Jordan River Commission's doing it in September, but North Salt Lake does their Get in the River in, you know, whenever we want.
Stan's always wanted to a city event in addition to the Jordan River ones.
He has, and he mentioned to me that he liked doing it in the spring because you're getting people excited about the river, but also it's kind of like clean up trash and help the river look good for the whole season instead of like cleaning it up at the end and everybody's done using it. And so he kind of liked getting that energy level early. The May event is already Kite Festival, and end of June's the race, but we could do end of May, beginning of June for that, and I could talk to Stan and see what he's kind of thinking. Does that seem like a good time for city staff for support?
Mm-hmm.
When did we open the park last time and have all those boaters?
Oh, gosh. I don't even remember. The ribbon cutting.
Yeah, the ribbon cutting.
Summer.
Yeah, it
was
in.
Was in
I think
summer.
It was in June. It was warm.
Yeah, it was warm.
Yeah, I think June 7th, right?
So, May June is going to be fine to
yeah,
run that because that was a great event.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my only point of clarification for that, I think that sounds like a great event, and I think that sounds appropriate for this committee. However, there's nobody currently on the committee available to chair that event.
So
everyone is chairing other events.
I think what we'll do is we'll treat it just like the Easter. This would be my suggestion. Treat it just like the Easter egg hunt, and it's just an event that is that's on our calendar, but that we are not necessarily the sponsor.
Yeah.
That this
well,
event
we could
would be sponsor sponsored
it.
By.
Maybe if Stan wanted to come to our meeting and he could chair that event, or if he finds somebody that would chair the event and they would come either to be on the board or even just come for the 3 months until the event is over.
I think that's all fine.
Let me meet with Stan and kind of see what he wants to do. Make sure that he wants to do a city event and, you know, he doesn't want to just do whatever the commission's doing. And,
great.
And
I mean, one thing that makes the event successful is that we partner with Davis County.
Yeah.
And so if we're not partnering with them, that makes it a little bit different event.
It does.
So we'll have to, I mean, Stan has worked with city staff
directly,
really, and I'm sure he'd be happy chairing the event. But we'd have to, we'd have to figure out how to get boats and transportation, which I'm sure we could do. So
now, would the county,
I love that idea.
Could the county, I mean, we could still reach out to the county and just see if they'd co-sponsor it, if we're not going to.
We could.
If we're not going to ask them to do it again in September.
Right.
They
might be thrilled.
Then
they
might be thrilled to just do it when we want. So I wonder if we could just reach out to the county and see.
Yeah.
If that would be better.
And maybe Stan would do a different activity and get into the river. A lot of communities do cleanups rather than
recreation than just the recreation
stuff,
boating.
Yeah. So, that was June 3rd last year.
Okay. It was a good time.
It was a nice day.
To do it. It was
yeah,
a really
was
nice
really
day.
Great.
It was beautiful weather. Beginning of June. I mean, it was hot, but that's okay because the river's cold.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fine.
I think that sounds great. It has my support. I'm thinking, okay, so like June 2nd-ish, the beginning of June, end of May. Okay. Never mind. So you will follow up with Stan.
I will follow up with Stan and report back.
Okay. All right, October 2nd Sunday concert is not scheduled. I'm hoping that an additional member of the committee is appointed and will take over this assignment, and then that person can fill out that concert. We would then meet on October 23rd, and the Halloween 3K would be on October 20th. It was a week later last year, but I don't know if that matters. Does anyone have any opinions about if it's the week before, the 2 weeks before?
It would only be helpful if, since we're meeting on the 23rd, if we had any last minute prep of the committee of whatever we need to do and finalize everything, then we would have just met in order to carry it out on that Saturday. Have we always done it the Saturday before Halloween? Is that like
no,
a tradition?
No, that's what it did last. So in 2017, it was the Saturday before, but in 2016, it was two.
Two. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be nice to land on a weekend and stick to it every year.
I agree.
Like the Saturday before, or two Saturdays before. That would
people
know to expect it.
Let's just pick the one and do it now.
I like the Saturday before because you're most likely to have people have costumes by
then.
Yeah, costumes. That's a good point. Okay, October 27th then. And then November 11th, second Sunday concert is scheduled for the Messiah Sing-In. And then I propose that we meet Tuesday, November 13th that month instead of November 27th. I think that's too close into the holiday. And this Tuesday, this November 13th meeting would be a review of the last year and a brainstorm of the next year. And
awesome.
Then no meeting in December, just this additional concert, Utah Guitar Society, is scheduled. And I actually emailed Shauna to see if we could swap the November and December options to get Messiah closer to Christmas.
Yeah, I agree.
But I haven't heard back, and I don't know if perhaps people are hard to schedule. So I'll
what happened to the Madrigals? We always have the Madrigals in December.
That's a good question. I don't know. She must not have just not have scheduled them or included them. Maybe that's something we could do in October, if they had something available.
I think they probably, I mean, I have no idea, but I'm betting they do it
or
December because they have a program.
Yeah. Maybe the Guitar Society could go to
October.
And the choir, wasn't the choir going to perform at one of these?
Oh, yes.
Well, they could
and
also
that,
be
that would actually be perfect for TBD
mm-hmm.
there in October and see. I don't know if they'd have enough material.
I'll ask Brett.
While we're speaking of the choir, can I give a quick update?
Yes.
Okay, so I talked to, I had a lengthy discussion, and so the choir right now is practicing downstairs in the police training room. The Vita Tax or whatever their name is upstairs for right now. So until April and they're done, the choir's downstairs. The very first first practice, they had 16 members
wow.
Come, which was great.
That's amazing.
He said that he just brought his electric piano and set it up, so they just kind of practiced right there. He said that it went really well, and the feedback was that that was awesome, and everybody was going to go out and get more. I wanted to know kind of where they're kind of pulling from, and he said there wasn't really a section of a geographic area yet where they were from. They were really dispersed, so he was hopeful that means if each of them could find one other person or something, it would be able to grow really well instead of just one neighborhood or one ward or one stake. So he had was very, very positive. I think it was a lot more than, he likes choirs, and he was like, I wanted, 100 people, but he was like, I think for the very first practice, having 16 show up was actually really, really good. Expecting a much lower turnout on day one and then to grow. We discussed having the option of having the choir perform at any event that they would like to. And so one option was just present our list of events and say, any event that you guys would like to come and perform, you're welcome to come and sing a number at any event. If they want to just, set up and just sing a number while the Kite Festival is going on, it doesn't have to be like an official stage or an official program. They could just line up, sing two songs, and then be done, and people could hear it as they're there. And so he loved that idea and said that he would get back to us on the list. We would provide him the full list of events, and then he would just say yay or nay to whatever event. And then I'm going to talk to the council. They wanted to perform like the national anthem at a city council meeting here kind of right away as something to like work towards as like their first performance. We also discussed it as maybe a way of advertising the choir without really advertising the choir. You could just post it and say, the North Salt Lake Master Chorus did a great job singing the national anthem today at city council. They're so wonderful. If you they're still accepting positions if you want to join. Something like that's really an advertisement, but doesn't look like it's an advertisement, and maybe you could get the word out. So he was really excited about that. We didn't go into doing a full Second Sunday concert series, but I actually think that's a great idea. And then just know that every year, at the end of the year, they're going to have some sort of performance. And I like that.
That
also gives them something to work towards, build up their music towards that event.
So are you waiting to hear back from Brett right now? Or I can follow up with him and ask him about that if you want.
I'm happy to do it, or if you want to do it, that's great.
That's
okay.
Okay.
I'm hoping to get kind of regular updates on what the attendance is like and how the numbers are growing, or what they're kind of needing. I did get official word back from the city attorney that his request, and this is kind of at their disposal, but his request was they don't have to file a 501c3 if they don't want to. Any donation that they receive from the city wouldn't impact them on a tax basis. But he wanted them to have some sort of just simple statement or something as they joined that just explained that that this was a community event and a community choir and would not be covered under the insurance of the city. And so that they were performing and practicing at their own risk. He just thought that would just be a nice cover for the city. He was certain that there wouldn't be any sort of lawsuit issue regardless, but just thought that might be nice to notify them of that. And so I kind of explained that to him, and he didn't have any issue with that at all either. He's like, that's great. I did get contacted by a second choir that Shauna Gawkerson sent over my contact information to, and I explained that we had a choir practicing at City Hall, and that that they were kind of supporting that, and so he was just looking for maybe more information on other items, so I don't think that we need to kind of sponsor more than one, was my opinion.
We don't need a competing choirs.
That's what I thought, so.
Okay.
Excellent.
That's so great. You know what might be cool in the future is like a music festival where we have our own choir, but then like different schools can send their chorus and any groups. That'd be cool. Not this year though. Okay, let's go over the budget. and these aren't firm numbers for now, but I just want people to have some familiarity with what the overall budget looks like. So the loosely structured budget for 2017 is listed up at the top, and then some kind of loose numbers for 2018 are there. So the Three Kings event, we're obviously not doing that. The 5K run last time was 2,500, and Nola was saying 4,500 would be ideal for you.
Yeah, I mean, dream monies, yeah, it would be, but the 2,500, that didn't even cover the timing of the t-shirts.
Oh, it didn't?
No.
So then the registration fees covered that different?
Probably not, but...
did we go over the budget then?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Would 4,000 do it, do you think?
It would be definitely easier.
Closer? Okay. And then the Kite Festival was $1,250 last year, so I was thinking... So we have available money from Three Kings as well as Polynesian Cultural Festival that... So basically all of the budgets can go up. And I like one thing that you've been saying, Lori, that let's do the events we have really, really well and give them what they need to go really well. So NSL Reads, you'll come back with the number as things get closer.
Yeah, once I shore up the author, then I'll know what the theme is, and then I can pick the craft or the activity, and that's what's expensive, right?
Yeah.
To hire the magician or to buy the superhero capes or whatever.
That was such a great event last year.
Wasn't it?
And so if you're talking about doing a few events really well, that was definitely one of them. And so I'm really excited. And I think the extra money for the 5K is going to do that same thing. I think it's going to give it that extra amount as well. So I really like this plan.
I also think that if that event is getting too large for the city council chambers, we could use one of the elementary schools in the city and rent their gym.
Oh,
and
then
I know
it would be huge because they probably invite all their kids, which could be fun.
They could, yeah. So
which
that
could be great.
Yeah,
but it would be more expensive. But that's okay. Like maybe if we wanted to head that way,
yeah,
that is an option. And I know, like at Foxborough, it's $75 to rent the gym.
Oh, you're kidding?
Yeah. So it's not.
Oh wow.
Cost prohibitive at all.
I think what I've told the publisher I'm working with right now is it depends on the theme. Like last year, magic was a really good theme.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was excited about it. The kids
were excited
about it.
And it worked well for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then
kids
brought their parents, and parents brought their teenagers, and so it was a big, happy crowd. And I think sticking with themes like that makes it really fun, and that's the point, right? To get people excited about reading and reading as a community.
Yeah.
Yeah, where the serial killer theme was cool because the author was from North Salt Lake,
mm-hmm.
but it really wasn't necessarily a children draw.
Yeah, it was harder. I mean, we didn't do the serial killer, we did his robots.
Okay.
And so the kids made robots.
Okay.
Right? I purposely did not pick the serial killer book, although it's my personal favorite of his. No, we did robots. So I try to make it really family friendly.
Okay.
Which is why we've started landing on like middle reader and young adult books, because it's something the family can read together. There's nothing in it that little kids can't hear, and everybody can kind of enjoy.
You're speaking kind of like in code, like you have an author kind of on the line,
yeah,
or what's
so,
going on?
I contacted Shadow Mountain, which is Deseret Books' fiction wing, and they were excited about it, and we've narrowed it down to two authors, and they're talking to them.
That's great.
So I think by next time I'll have an author.
Cool.
They're both children's authors, but middle reader books, not like little picture books. So books that the family could sit down and read together on family night or whatever, and everyone would enjoy. I'm currently reading a stack of books to see which... to prep, so...
Okay.
Nice. Do you know Jennifer Nelson? Are you familiar with her writing?
Okay. Do you know her?
Yes.
I am always looking for authors.
Yes. She... So she's my friend, and I'm not as aware of her writing as I maybe should be, but I know that I just got them for my little girl and went their fantasy, but kids versions.
How do you spell her name?
So Jennifer, and then Nielsen is Nielsen. She's actually doing an event at the Davis County Library on February 27th.
Oh,
that's why I got them for my daughter, so she could read them before the event.
Where is it at?
Davis, or Bountiful. And she's local. She's South Davis County somewhere.
If this falls through... then that would be great to have backup, or next year.
Yeah, next year maybe.
Because I'd hate for any author to feel like they were the backup plan, but but I love to get as local as we can.
Yeah.
And shine a light on our authors.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, and then the Polynesian Cultural Festival, we are not funding this year. And then, Ken, do you have any updates from
yes.
your contact with
Sorry.
Sandra?
Yes, okay. I do. I have a... So I emailed Sandra.
Thank you for doing that.
Did I send you a copy of that? Mm-hmm. Okay. I won't read this whole thing. She's disappointed that the city's not willing to fund the $4,000. She won't be helping in the future on the event. She said it was way too hard for her. She lost a lot of sleep doing it. This has nothing to do with our contribution, but she says, I worked on it for 6 months. I lost sleep. I was severely exhausted and had to take 2 weeks off and lost her job because of it. That's unfortunate. Anyway, then I got a call from her sister, who I'm meeting with. David and I are meeting with her and Craig Black tomorrow morning.
Oh.
Who wants to take over the event. She and I had a really good conversation on the phone, and she's likewise disappointed in our position, but they do want to have the event. So, anyway.
Great. I'm glad that they'll do it still.
Yeah. I told them that the city would support them in a lot of other ways.
Yeah.
With staff and police and being at the event to help them. So.
Great. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, the Festival of Speed. Last year their budget was only $500, so I thought we could up that as well. And I've emailed Bruce, but haven't quite heard back to see if that's a good idea for him. The Halloween 3K budget was $750, and I upped that loosely. These are loose numbers. And then the Second Sunday Concert Series had no budget last year, but we were under budget. And so Matt had kind of told Shauna she could have $800, and then she said $1,000 would cover that better. Now, I want to, for our advertising, I am sending all of the information to Rachel, the graphic designer, in the next couple of weeks, I'd like to do. Even if we don't have firm dates, she can still be doing, you know, posters that we alter the dates for. And I'd like to print those early on. All of these budgets previously included the printing of the posters for that particular event.
Hi.
Would you like to have... Oh, hi.
Hi.
Brought a friend.
Okay.
It's good to see you. Would you like to have the printing pulled out of all of your individual budgets and we just have a budget for printing?
That would be nice because currently we don't know what it costs, right? The city just has a contract with
Signature Press.
With Signature Press, and I mean, I've never known how much of my budget it's taking.
I agree, and I never know until I pick the items up.
Now my budget's gone.
Hooray. For me. Yeah. Okay, so plan on that doesn't have to be part of your budget.
Do we need to add the master chorus to our budget?
Yes. Yes, and I will talk to Brett about what that would be. Let's Shauna, talk about your calendar for just a minute. Are there any more of these?
Yeah, I just picked up your email 20 minutes ago.
Sorry. So we're very grateful that you scheduled these out. How is the moving going?
Good.
Are you all packed up?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Oh, good.
Went to Dick's for my last boxes today.
Oh, wow. Well, it's nice of you to come spend some minutes here. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we have for August, the Bluegrass Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Did you contract with any of the performers for any amounts?
No, I did not commit with any of them. Bluegrass will, I'm sure, take anything that you can give them.
Okay.
The Army Band never charges.
Okay.
From what I understand. The Messiah Singers, I paid $60 each last year.
For the soloist?
Uh-huh. And the pianist, I paid $100.
For that night as well?
Yeah.
And
then,
there's four soloists, right?
Yes. Then the Utah Guitar Society would probably take any donation that you, because he's a nonprofit, so any donation that you want to give to them, he'll just put towards his program.
Okay.
And then you ask if you wanted to switch the Messiah with the Utah Guitar.
Is that an option?
The Utah Guitar Society gears up for their Christmas concert, so they have this beautiful Christmas concert that's all ready to go. And we were just talking on the way down, you're going to have a little bit of a hard time getting your soloists for Messiah if you hold it in December, because that's when everybody does Messiahs. And so that's why I kind of moved it to November. Well, I put it in place of the Interfaith Sing-Along, and I moved it to November just so that I could make sure I could get my soloist. And I don't think it's bad to have it in November. It kind of sets up the holiday season.
People are still excited.
Yeah, and kind of gets them excited for the Christmas season. And
would it work to have the master chorale that Brett is doing be the singers for the Messiah Singing?
Yes.
Instead of soloists?
Yes.
And so they could learn the music and then the group.
Well, you kind of need soloists because it's so interspersed with
solo. But somebody in the group.
Chorals.
We need singers in the
group.
Yeah, but they could learn the choruses and really help the public out with that, because that's what we were missing last year, that people just came.
Some strong people in the audience.
Yeah, we need some strong singers.
We did have some former members of the Tabernacle Choir show up, which was really fun.
Yeah.
They just had a great time.
I missed it. Was it a bring your own score event, or did we provide any scores?
Brett
or
provided
of
all the scores for everybody. He had them for his stake that he used them for.
Okay.
And so he just brought this big box, and they were beautiful scores with all the master choruses in them.
Okay.
So people could just come, pick up a score, and sing, but a lot of them didn't know the choruses. So what I have planned to do, I work with a group in Cottonwood Community that does a Messiah every December, and they have a choir that's been doing it for over 30 years. And the conductor of that said that she would let them know when our Messiah was and invite them to come and sing, so that we had support singers with us that already knew the choruses. And I can get you her contact information.
Great. Thank you.
So did that answer all your questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think if you went maybe 200 for bluegrass and then your Messiah, and then 200 for Utah, or 150 to Utah Guitar Society, that'd be great. And then you've got your programs and things that take away from that budget a little bit. So I think you're good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's review. Last time we talked about online advertising and social media, and with homework to look at Mill Creek's Parks and Rec Facebook page. Did anyone look at that and have any comments or any suggestions or anything they loved and want to do, or things they saw that they definitely want us not to do? Okay, then we'll carry on. So to do right now, I've been in touch with Linda about the city's Facebook or the city's website, and she's working on getting an access login for me or for our group, so we can change the page that is for us on our own.
Very cool.
And then we can update that page. And then the other to-do item is to create our Facebook page, and that's the scope of our social media footprint, right?
That's what we decided last time.
Great. All right, Parks and Trails update.
Me. So the first thing, came to this committee with the work we're going to be doing actually next month at Deer Hollow with the concrete riverbed, essentially, because of just the high volume of water that destroyed our beautiful park last year. So today I just wanted to throw out the option of the color, because you guys requested that it be a colored concrete instead of just a regular concrete. So just wanted to maybe throw this around, see what you guys thought. It's the only one I've got. So
what color is the clay structures or the other structures in the park?
I don't know the exact color.
Are they greens? I think they're greens, right?
Well,
yeah, they're greens.
Green and tan, kind of.
There's a lot of natural. There's the natural
wood
in the book. Yeah, there's a lot of wood color.
Probably a tan color.
And if you remind me, it'll be like a concrete bed, but it'll have the look of rocks in it.
So we're gonna try to find a good mix. We want rocks in there to give it more of a natural look too. But we also, it needs to be functional and able to be cleaned by us without tons of nooks and crannies and stuff. So we gotta, because we have to clean it out every once in a while. So yeah, that's the look we're going for. We're trying to make it look as natural as you can, kind of something like this look. So you guys just said that you wanted it to be a stained concrete, so
yeah,
and it'll be one color, so whatever color we pick, that'll be the color of the rocks and everything.
I think all the pebble rock for the actual park there is
is like gray.
Yeah.
And it's really, really small. And then I think the swing sets are just metal gray, yeah. Right?
So, and that's the thing, and I'll just be up front. So that's the reason it has to be functional and be able to be, because we turn it off and clean it out. Kids throw those rocks and throw the rocks in the water. So they're going to end up in the water every year, and we're going to be going in there and shoveling everything out and putting it back into the park. So, I mean, it's going to have an element of natural look because it's going to get that stuff yeah. thrown in and washed into it. So,
is there any price difference from the different colors?
Not really.
What about the price difference from just concrete color to color?
I don't have the exact amount.
Is it significant?
Stamped costs more. Yeah, yeah. It's worth a few $1,000s probably more.
Nola, any?
I would say stick to tans and browns.
Yeah.
Stay away from anything red or really bright because when they fade, they're going to look really bad.
Yeah. I like all these
so
buffs.
When you stay in.
Like the sand buff or the Austin buff or the sun mm-hmm. buff.
I liked your thought.
Yeah, I like the Austin buff on the north corner.
Okay.
Let's see. Did you get a chance to see?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Okay.
I'm colorblind, so I have, my opinion is terrible on this.
So which one did
but
you?
I,
so which one did you?
Well, I think a lighter earth tone
right.
that would contrast with the color of the tank
of the
reservoir mm-hmm. would be good myself. But that's, you know, I'm the worst color.
The reservoir is just regular concrete, right?
No, it's a dark stained.
It's pretty dark.
Right? It's like, it's like. Or it's streaked and stuff. So
it's kind of got a rusty look.
I'd say that it.
But I think up in here is where we want to be. Maybe
mm-hmm.
I don't know. But whatever you.
Is that sufficient?
Like I said, my color
direction
opinion
for you?
Is not worth much.
Up here.
I think we just got to pick one of them.
Austin buff. That look good then.
Looks good to me.
That was the one you liked, right?
I
think it's gonna fade, so I'd probably.
Go with that one and then have it fade to that color palette on the top.
Do we want a warm tone or a cool tone if it's with the red reservoir? Does that matter? Do we need to pick it this week? I wonder if we should wander over to the park and take a look.
Doesn't matter with me. We're going to be doing the work here next month, so we just got to know.
We'll take a final vote next time.
Okay, I'll bring it back.
And anyone who wants to go to the park and look at colors can do that.
When you say next month, in March?
No, February 20th. Oh, our meeting is the 20th.
Yeah, we are meeting later this month.
27th.
We are doing the work. We're slated to begin the work.
All the meeting
again,
here,
27th. I believe the second week of March on my calendar. We're going to be shutting the water down, doing a bunch of stuff in there, and cleaning out. The water department's going to be in there as well as the parks doing work.
Do you want to scan that in? Or I could just take a picture of it with my phone.
Whatever you guys have.
Because I was just thinking.
I can go make copies.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because I was just thinking it might be nice to just. Have it in my mind while I'm standing at the park. Sound perfect. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so the second topic that we came to you guys.
Could I have the color palette as well?
Yes.
Or we can just all the color.
I was going to say I could make copies, but I'm not sure if the colors would come out.
No, this will be great. Because then I can just stand there and look at it.
And I'm sure, just to be up front, it's probably like grout. It's not going to look
exactly
that.
I agree.
Because I had like an issue with my wife where she was like,
this isn't the color.
Actually, they come out really close.
Pretty close.
Really close.
So, end up there.
Do you want this?
Okay, so the second thing real quick. We came on the city council's request. We came to you with asking for ideas for the splash pad. We're going to be redoing some of the signage as far as just moving. Because it needs more signage down.
It does, unfortunately. I know. It does.
No, just the icons. We're working on that. But if you guys remember the discussion, we talked about getting a sign that tells people what's going on
mm-hmm.
as far as, like, it's going to shut down. So anyway, we've got pricing on the signs. This is kind of what it looks like. I'll just hand this around.
Oh, cool.
So we can... With the Ethernet connectivity, we can have that sign, but it's $8,696. So I mean, there's a good cost associated.
What's the lifespan of a sign like that? How long until it would need to be replaced?
5 years, parts and labor on it. I don't know how long the one's been in the roundabouts.
10, 12 years.
So I think they're pretty good.
Probably a 15-year life.
Probably 15. Are they pretty durable if like a rock hits it or anything from a kid? Nothing's very durable from kids. it is up high. Or is that on in front of it?
Probably get toilet paper thrown at them, but wet toilet paper. But
okay.
Is there wet toilet paper on the outside of the building otherwise?
There's a camera right above us, so that usually discourages
people
throwing things at it.
I think that's right.
So, I mean, there's pretty good cost associated with it as opposed to some of the other options that we threw out earlier. But if that's what kind of direction maybe you want to suggest we go, we can take it to council.
I mean, the city does have property damage insurance. I mean, we pay an insurance premium. So for something of this value, if it's broken with a rock and destroyed, we'd probably file an insurance claim
and
get it replaced.
What's the strategy you're thinking? Would it just be a rotating message that says, like, splash pad recharges every, you know, for 15 minutes every hour?
I think
like,
it should cycle through all the rules.
And just cycle every rule?
Yep, because if you're a mom and you're sitting there with your kids and you're bored, you'll watch the sign and read the sign. So, and then if there is something that we didn't provide signage for, can always get added in. Like,
well, you
just
could,
remind them, no dogs.
Well, you could use it to do, I mean, depending on what you think needs to cycle, you could say the kite festival next week. So, I mean, you could use it for a bunch of different things.
We could
really
program
good
it just like the reader boards.
Yeah.
As long as we have this 15-minute notification come up.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
That's probably just the most important thing, because that's what the whole, that's how this got started, is people
they're breaking
their
sensors
because they didn't know it was shut down every hour or so.
Huh. It can't be actually linked to the system so that when it's recharging, it pulls up and says, it's recharging. Is there any way to actually link it to the system?
We're
not sure 100%, but the shutdown's scheduled by a clock that's, so we could schedule maybe a timed message. But that's something we'd have to experiment with. We're not 100% sure.
We looked at it initially as when we brought like the stop sign concept, mm-hmm. and that was going to be easy because
that's just like a relay.
Where this wouldn't be quite that easy.
Maybe it would be easy, and you could even have a countdown timer when it restarts. I don't know.
We have to go to our electricians because that'd be cool if it says
it would be
it's
nice.
Going to shut down at 10
9.
Yeah.
And then it also it says, you know, splash pad
more minutes.
Splash yeah,
pad,
we'll restart
minutes.
In 3 minutes. Splash
yeah.
pad will restart in 2 minutes, and then it counts down to one,
nice.
and then it restarts. I don't know how technical or expensive that would be, but that would, I mean, people would pay attention to the sign because they would say, oh, well, you just look at the sign and it tells you the time, and then after it's going, it's going to say right afterwards, you know, reminder, no animals in our park, no dogs, and then, like, it could cycle through other rules, like...
No food.
Yeah.
Yeah. If UTA can do for the trains, we should be able to
come to the kite festival.
I think that's awesome.
Sounds like I got your attention.
I think, hey, you read them. I always look for them because I'm like, I want to know what joke they're going to make about texting today. Like, it's great. They do a great job.
So I've heard that there's talk of moving the padding at the park there to BART. Is that on the table? Great. If you need public comment on that, I could get plenty of people to comment that they appreciate the, what's it called, the resistant surface? I don't know what it's called.
Pour in place.
Pour in place, that's what it's called. Well,
depends on how you spell pour in place.
P-O-U-R.
That's why I say it the way I
like pouring.
Pour.
Oh, see,
place.
It's got a double entendre. I know it's expensive to upkeep, and I get so frustrated when I see kids picking at it.
It's very expensive.
That
it's,
could be another one of the signs.
The maintenance they did on
it. Damage the park.
Well, good example. They came in and did stuff on it late, I guess it was in the fall. Might have been the end of summer.
It was right before the police event.
That was like $8,000 worth of work, and it's still like, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's just a high maintenance thing. So,
but
it's retreated every year, right?
Yeah, you gotta just keep
spot for
most of the people in the city, I think, love it, and will get up their pitchforks if they need to. At least the ones that use it. It's great surface, but I know it's really expensive to upkeep.
Actually, I probably should have included. So let's use that as a gateway to this. We talked about this last week, the parks replacement plan.
Yeah.
We've already got a copy of this. This don't know. Let's go back to like what I said at the council meeting. We like had one slide. We did like hours and hours of work, and then we just barely talked about it. Really just trying to break down. There's just so much to it. There's really no good starting point to kind of just to see where all of the maintenance is at and where things are going to come due and kind of where we estimate things are going to need to be replaced. And it's pretty daunting. I'm not going to lie. When you look at it, the costs are pretty expensive. But you talked about it, asked about it. So I brought copies of that for you guys this week to look over. Maybe get a little sticker shock on how much some things cost.
So $8,000 a year to replace that board in place?
We didn't really think about that service. I don't know why we didn't put that in there. Felt like we were pretty comprehensive, and that's kind of an obvious one, I guess. But at the time we put this together, I don't think we needed to replace it.
We do.
No, we got it.
We haven't decided yet. So background on it. I think I've been a really strong voice on the council to keep the port in place.
Great.
And to maintain it. So there's a cost associated every year with sealing it and then patching it. And so it was just those little star patches that were added in this last fall, and to seal it was the $8,000. So if you want to rip out the whole
really
thing
expensive.
And actually replace it was a lot more.
And so just so you know, too, they came back and they're like, there's a lot of this we can't really pat. It's bad. It needs to be replaced fairly soon. So that's.
And what is the cost to replace it?
It's like $22 a square foot.
I want to say, what did I tell you, Ryan? My brain said.
I want to say it was $50,000.
I thought I was thinking it was almost.
Oh, man.
You got to do the whole thing.
So.
It's expensive.
Now, the shade that we're installing at the splash pad came out to finally at $100,000.
Just shy of that. I think it was like 95. Something like that. And that's scheduled the first week of April, I believe.
Will that affect viewing the sign?
No.
No.
Because we didn't put any
on that side. It should be.
Marquee sign, will any of the physical metal signs that are up on the north side be changed? Will those all stay the same?
I think we have to have all of those signs from the health. That's health department.
Right, but some things like no food is not there. And maybe if we're adding anything, maybe something about don't pick the floor, don't wreck the park, guys. Come on. I don't know if that's worth it or not. I know for the HOA that's in that area, they were having trouble with people vandalizing at the clubhouse, and they posted all the HOA rules, and then they just asked HOA members, like, you help enforce the rules. And whenever I participated in telling people, like, you're not allowed to do that, it mattered a lot to be able to say, like, look, you're not allowed to do that. Instead of, well, I don't think you should eat it. I don't think you should let your kid do that anymore. That mattered for some community policing.
Yeah, something we could look into. I don't know.
Okay.
I think a sign for that would probably be better suited over by that, maybe.
Yeah, but then that works at all. Yeah.
But.
Okay, just in the ideas.
It's the parents that need to police it, like you said.
I agree. But as a parent there, when I see other people's kids breaking the rules, I don't want to have to correct them. But if there was a giant sign that said no food or please don't wreck the floor or something, I would say, like, hey, your kid shouldn't be doing this, instead of just because I said so. Okay.
Well, it probably, most people don't understand how much cost is associated with it, so they see their kids doing it. Well, it's already damaged, whatever. You know, I don't know.
That's something that could go through the marquee sign. Did you know the flooring at this park costs $50,000?
Yeah.
Don't wreck
taxpayer
it.
Dollars.
Don't
Actually,
wreck it. Your taxpayer dollars.
That's a great idea. And just say, you know, it costs $70,000 to replace, you know, please do all you can to protect it
something. Or every time we shut down the splash pad because of contamination from a dog, it costs this much money to shock the water or whatever.
Yeah. Huh.
That is a good thing to run through that sign.
Yeah. To say.
Because it's happening all the time.
It is. I think I told you, I was out there with TJ one day and a guy basically gave us the bird and told us to. He was just, hey, there's no dogs allowed in this park. And he was like, I ain't listening to you.
Oh, sorry.
Taser time.
Yeah. It sucks because nobody wants to be rude or anything, but you're like, yeah, this is, you know, a public health safety thing. You know, you can't have your dog in here. So, Yeah, get some help policing it, and maybe the sign will help. Maybe more signs is going to help.
It would help me.
I'm not negative on it. I think that I do agree. I think it needs to be icons. I think that's just more just simple stuff because it's like a book, you know.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, we'll work on it.
Thank you.
Can I add in one more thing with this? So one of the items that that I've been thinking about and discussing is that like the core purpose of our committee is like parks, arts, trails, recreation. And so much of that is the parks. And so I was having a conversation with the city this past week about how we could better run that function of our committee. We've been appointed to improve the parks, arts, trails, recreation, and yet we're kind of non-experts necessarily in park replacement schedule and how to do that. And so as we were discussing with the budget, the proposal and the discussion led to, well, we do have an expert in park replacement and that knows how long parks are gonna last and know how these materials should last. And so so the discussion was the city's parks group, Dave, will present kind of a budget item and say, hey, this is the budget, this is what we're anticipating for the replacement or the impact to the parks. Here's what's on the schedule, here's what's what we're budgeting for. And you can see that unfortunately, you know, half of the items should have been replaced in 2005, and it's, you know, it's our 2018 calendar year, they're not done yet. And so it's not like we have an endless budget that would cover all the items, but then what I'm imagining is that then we would suggest and say, you know what, we think this park equipment will last one more year, and we'd rather update the pour in place, or we'd rather do ABC. That would be our suggestion. 99% of this is perfect because we're not experts in that. And so that's kind of what I was imagining as a way that we could help with that park section of our purpose, is that we're getting ready for budget review, getting ready for budget proposal. And so that was kind of the suggestion that I need help from you. My job on the council is to champion whatever you guys are doing and, you know, what your president's kind of running. And so I thought, well, if we got the budget and we could look through it and say, oh, that makes sense, this needs to be done, we agree with this, then I can kind of go and champion that. Or if there's something else, like what we really need is an extra $15,000 because no matter what happens, we need to do ABC, then I can go and push for that at the budget meeting. And so I wanted to get your feedback if that was kind of the right choice, or if you guys agreed with kind of that mentality of how we can fulfill that parks part of our mandate.
So what you're maybe suggesting is that we each review this and then identify what are priorities to us, and then you'll take that information to the budget meeting.
Yeah, I think one more step first would be see what the city's presenting first and say, this is what they'd be presenting. Am I speaking way too
out
of time here?
I actually talked to Alicia earlier today about, and David, about this. And I think what we ought to do, David is going to have a recommendation that he would normally make to the council. And I think in this committee's role as a recommending body, I think he should make it here in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then you guys can, you know, study those. But he has a very specific recommendation.
Great.
About a specific park that needs attention. And
So this was Ryan's idea, and I'm glad that we did it. It took, like I said, it took us a lot of time to put together.
Probably hundreds of hours of work.
The spreadsheets are, yeah, there's even more detailed spreadsheets, so I'm happy to hand out, too, if you
want. But it's excellent info.
But, so here's the thing. We looked at something like a roof. We looked at everything individually, like a roof at Hatch Park, a roof at you know, each individual park. So it all kind of comes out in just kind of a heap of like overwhelming numbers when you look at it like this. Because again, like we talked last week, trail's expensive. Every little element's expensive. But Ken and I had a really good conversation today about where I think this committee could be awesome, and I think it could help give us direction too. But take all of this kind of chaos and structure in a form of like which parks need the most attention, and focus on a park at a time, and probably try to, with your guys' help, what we will do is I'll come back with maybe like where we see the order of the parks, and then we can work on the cost and give you guys time frames, and you guys can say, no, I think this one's more important. trying to simplify it.
I think what we talked about was 2 weeks from tonight we would make that recommendation. David will make his recommendation to you. I also have some recommendations related to Hatch Park that are not really on this plan. So the city has to, you know, we embarked on a plan to expand the physical area of Hatch Park. So I have a recommendation on how to finish acquiring those parcels that we need, and then how to do a plan to plan the improvements in the park. We really need this committee's help. I think the council wants this committee's help on the Hatch Park plan, if I say this the wrong way.
That's 100% right.
And so that's going to be in next year's budget and not necessarily in David's piece of it. But anyway, we kind of wanted to lay that out for you next week, which is what I told you.
What I like about kind of what we're talking about, I think it'd be good. Instead of piecemealing it together, like, okay, so we fix a roof at Mathis this year, we fix a swing set at, you know, this park this year, whatever else. Instead of doing that, we basically kind of are taking this list and kind of moving the pieces, saying, listen, no, this park, do the whole park at once and almost do a grand reopening. You know, so you're not destroying the park in bits and pieces. You know, just looking at the parks differently and saying, right, well, this is due this year, this is, the roof's due this year, irrigation, maybe we can do all of it together in 5 years from now, and that looks like the best window of where everything's going to hit, and this is what the price is going to be. And that way, I think it'd be cool, too, because then you're kind of doing the whole park at once. You're just doing the construction all at once, arranging for everything all at once, instead of having it closed multiple different times and things like that. So,
do you have any to-do items or homework for us then to prepare for the next meeting?
Not really. I think, I mean, a little bit of familiarity with the costs, because I think it is sticker shock, a lot of the pricing. You know, just things that you don't really perceived to cost that much. And these are real, we went and got prices on everything, and we got multiple bids, and we did a lot of work on it. So I feel they're accurate. I think I put like 3.5% inflation, so when you're looking at stuff 20 years down the road, it's got the inflation element built in and things like that. So I think this conversation was pretty recent with Ken and I, and just like, hey, this makes sense, and for doing budget and stuff, I think it's just going to be better to have a plan maybe in the next 5 or 10 years anyway. They can adjust, you know, some things are going to happen, a slide, and the playground's going to go out earlier than we thought, or maybe we can get 2 more years out of it, I don't know.
You know, the one piece I think we'll try to share with you, but I guess I'm a little unclear as to this committee's role. It's really the council's role to plan for expenditures. So the funding piece is not necessarily what we're really talking about, though that's a big challenge, I think. You can't read this without some sticker shock, because the challenge for North Salt Lake is huge to keep our parks up to date and in good working order. But anyway, we'll share some of that with you, and I think if you had ideas or recommendations on the funding side, the council would appreciate it too. I just say that because I think it's the council's main job is to really figure out how they're going to pay for things. Well, it's really my job, David. But the council sort of tells us what they're willing to spend, you know.
For us, I mean, it's just giving a recommendation. Like, we're trying to look at the forest, like what parks need it more, because everybody can see what's out there, you know, backyard, or what their kids go play at. They don't see all the parks. My kids don't play at these parks. You know, I don't have, all I'm looking at is what needs to be fixed most, and that's how we try to approach this.
I guess what I meant to say, too, is just sometimes we have issues and problems in our budget deliberations where we really haven't identified the funding source, but everyone in the room, including the elected officials, are saying, we want to fund this, even though we don't know how we're going to pay for it quite yet. We think it's an absolute priority this year to fund it. And I think some of these things will fall into that category. That's, I guess, what I was trying to say. And I think the council would appreciate if this committee has an idea, I think you should just forward it to the council. Let the council figure out they agree or not. And I don't know if I said that the right
way. No, I think that's perfect. So on the Planning Commission, the Planning Commission is appointed by the mayor, ratified by the council. Our positions are appointed by each city council member or the mayor and ratified by the council to this committee. So it's very similar as the Planning Commission. When the Planning Commission votes on an item, most of the time, except for items that the council has specifically given them, they're just voting on recommendations. So they always say, we vote to recommend this to the city council with the following conditions. This is what we're thinking. So when it comes to city council, the city council gets their recommendation and said, the Planning Commission reviewed this and they're recommending that we choose the following. So 99% of the time the council says, great, we appointed these people to review this and to discuss this at length. We have read all their stuff and we like their write-up. We're gonna vote in favor of it. So I was imagining something very similar from here and say, hey, we've been appointed by members of the council and the mayor to take stuff off of their hands and to really dig in and to love parks and trails. We're all people that love parks and trails and recreation and events. So we've been asked to look at these things. Let's look at them and then make a recommendation. And that will save the council and staff time, but also kind of fulfill what we were really asked to do.
So this that's what I was thinking about. I love this from my point of view too, because it's not just looking like it's just our opinion too, right. You know, like, hey, this is what we think. Because again, I guess I somewhat have a cold opinion towards it, because I'm just like, no, this needs to be fixed. This is maintenance. You know, you guys are actually the ones that whose families are using these parks more than, you know, we look at it kind of from a different, completely different paradigm. You know, so I think it means a lot more coming from a community like this. So I like this concept.
And I think it just kind of every year we would have a meeting in February where we, like, the end of February or something, we preliminary talk about the budget, we set a recommendation in March, and that kind of goes into that budget discussion for the city council. So kind of plan on that every year.
Great.
So what I'll come with next in 2 weeks is the heavy lifting we already did by putting this together for the most part. And I probably do need to add an element for the poor in place stuff. But I'll just come with, like, what I think is the next few proposals. I'll just order them in priority order as far as public works is concerned. And maybe you guys can chime in and we can adjust things or do whatever from there. See where I go forward. I don't know what that's even going to look like right now. I can tell you probably the first couple I think they're most important. But other than that, I haven't looked at it that close.
Good. Thank you. All right, City Council update.
Okay, really fast. Last time we voted on renaming Winchester Park to Laurel Park in honor of Laurel, who passed away, that lived two doors from the park. So
that was her primary chorister, right? You were a primary chorister, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So we voted on that. That was presented to the City Council. The City Council agreed with our recommendation. And Elisa and I had the opportunity to go and meet with the family and present the idea. I thought it was really important that we see that it was a possibility before you present something to a family and be like, hey, we were thinking maybe naming a park. Oh, but the council voted no. That seemed like a really bad idea. So we voted first, saw that that was the favor, went and presented it to the family, and they loved the idea and are really excited about it. And so the next step of that would be to just get the name marker designed and installed. And then I thought that we could just do some sort of park unveiling or a ribbon cutting event, probably 15 minutes and something simple, but just something to kind of unveil the new name of Laurel Park instead of Winchester Park. So as you're looking through the replacement plan, as you see Winchester Park, you can think in your mind that will have a name change coming up.
It'd be nice to let the family do the ribbon cutting.
The mother wanted to speak for 5 minutes at the ribbon cutting as well. And so I think that it would just be neighbors and a simple ribbon cutting. So probably not a huge event, but I think something that would be really awesome.
And the neighborhood, or maybe
blue,
that area.
Yeah, and the ribbon would be blue.
Yes, that was her favorite color.
So Ryan, did you talk about the name being just Laurel Park, or would it be Laurel Memorial Park?
So we kind of discussed it about some different options, and my the way I heard it, and you could clarify it, was that she liked the name Laurel Park mm-hmm. and just wanted that to be
perfect. That's great.
And so she said that that would just been in her head, and that was the name that she had really liked. So I just want to make sure that we get the spelling of Laurel correct as we're getting ready for that.
Just the typical way. So who's in charge of coordinating for the memorial piece? Is that something that Parks does? Or?
Yeah, we can take care of. So just another sticker shock thing, like those signs, like we're actually trying to get glued down every single year, but like what we're doing is the big stone signs that are mm-hmm. they're like $5,000 to $7,000. They take mm-hmm. a little bit of time to get done too, so.
And so, Dave, is it a marker that's attached to the stone, or is it carved
it's
into?
It's carved into. It's
carved into.
Yeah.
Right?
So.
Do you have a picture that I could get from you of what it looks like and like? What's
just go to Deer Hollow.
Okay.
Or right,
so
right on the corner by that roundabout at Deer Hollow Park.
Stone Park.
Does that have one?
I thought it Stone Park did, but maybe not.
That's on a piece of wood at Stone. No, just kidding.
I thought Stone Park had a.
I think it does.
I think it has a rock.
So is it just the title of the park?
Just the name of the park.
Fox Hollow has a stone sign.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Fox Hollow.
Fox Hollow is a really good example, I think, because
yeah.
it's right there by the school and the roundabout, and you can see it when you're driving.
It's in the
by.
Roundabout?
So right when you come around the roundabout, it's going to be right to your right. It's right as you're going into the driveway for Fox Hollow Park.
Just where the park is next to the school.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know where that is. That's big. That's a big marker. It's a small park. is there a way to put anything else on it or a plaque on it? Something that's like says in memorial of Laurel Isom, born 2008 to 2000 something.
Whatever you
think we could
like a
sign
plaque
like that
we could
on
hook on it or something?
Gregerson Trail.
Gregerson Trail? Okay.
Now
look
at
that.
Off of Cynthia Way, I think. Is
on the Gregerson Trail, isn't the sign like on the back of it or on the side of it or something?
There's a stone and there's a plaque attached to it.
Yeah.
So that,
right
okay.
next to
it, that's
perfect.
What I'm
that's
thinking.
What
I think because I think the name marker should just be really clear and then have the placard have the information.
I would make sure that you contacted the family and had them agree to whatever wording.
Yeah, they can come pick
yeah.
the rock if they want. We can do
well,
whatever.
I think the wording. I like
yeah.
your suggestion.
If they're going to do a plaque, they ought to agree to the wording.
Yeah, I'm just saying any element they want to be involved in, I don't think it's going to be a big deal. Like I said, they can come pick out the rock they want. I don't care.
Cool.
We can do whatever. So.
So what is the loose time frame? Is that something like April, May, June, July? Not fast, I know, but like late spring.
No, we could get. I mean, we could do it fairly quick.
60 days, maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, that is
just
fast.
What it probably. I mean, when's her birthday? Or you could. What's a good time?
June's her birthday, but I don't know if they'll want to wait that long. If they could do it earlier, I think
the park's gonna look better.
Okay, the family also contacted me and asked if they could, in conjunction with the ribbon cutting, do a fundraiser. There is a group called Princess Millie's Foundation. It's not their foundation, but Millie was a little girl who died of cancer, and then her parents have continued this foundation where when other children pass away, they just give money to the family for whatever they need immediately, for funeral costs and whatever they need immediately, and then ask if they can to just continue to fund. And so they wanted to do something like that. I said I would bring it up here, but what I had said is if you do something like that, whatever they set up should be at Laurel's house. So we have the park and we have the ribbon cutting and whatever is just at the park, and the house is just two doors down. Two doors or one door? It's two doors down.
Mm-hmm.
So they could put something out on her driveway, and it's such a closed road that people are gonna can mill about there with no problem. But I wanted to run by this group if that seemed to be okay or if that was a concern.
I think that sounds
to
great.
To have them do that. Do you have any concerns?
It made
okay.
it probably better. So.
The idea they had was to do a Laurel stand, Laurel's lemonade, and do just like a lemonade stand, and people could buy lemonade and donate money. Okay, well, I'll let them know that then. Great. All right.
Not that it matters to anything, but props to Jason Bolton from our public works. He's the one that actually came to us with this idea because it's awesome. So.
Yeah.
She actually asked me who that should go to, and I told her you because that's the first person I heard it from.
I don't get the credit. I loved it the second I heard it. So.
Okay, I'll tell her that.
If she wants to know, yeah, just tell her Jason Bolton. He's one of our parks employees, as you know.
That's great. I'll tell her that. All right, open forum. Any other concerns? topics that wanted to be discussed? Do you have stuff you want to share?
I just had one question, because I know you've talked about fundraising a little bit. And so I wanted to maybe, and Brian hasn't heard this, but he'll tell me if he doesn't like the idea. We've discussed, instead of having a few groups do fundraising for different things, that we would put together sort of a one effort on fundraising, and we would go to, if we went, for example, to Chevron, we would give them a menu of things to donate to, talk about the 5K run, NSL Live, the July 3rd celebration, whatever, everything we have on the list. And that way, this committee, and I guess a better example would be Lee's Marketplace, because, you know, the police department, this committee, the July 3rd celebration, the car show, the boat takeout, ribbon cutting, we hit Lee's up every time we needed a hot dog. And I think there's some fatigue possibly building there. And so we're just trying to unify our fundraising efforts. We'd love to have your help if you are doing fundraising. We just want to coordinate it. We're creating some materials to distribute.
I should have brought it.
That's okay. No, it's... But I just, before you went out and did some fundraising this year, I wanted to just say that we're trying to do it maybe one time for these businesses so they don't get asked three or four times.
So let me tell you, we hadn't talked about this yet as a group, but the idea that I had and what I wanted to do was similar to what you're saying,
yeah,
where we send out like a fundraising invitation early in the next 6 weeks or so. And then say, these are our events. Would you like to sponsor one of them? Would you like to contribute, you know, send coupons for one of them? In my experience, businesses were happy to donate, but it was hard as an event chair to feel like I had to coordinate all of that together.
Get all of the same, because that's true. Lee's going to get hit up by every single one of us for every single event, and that's not necessarily fair or a best practice.
Well, I also think... it benefits the first event or the second event, but by the third or fourth, you know, Lee's is saying, well, you know, we've done all these other things. And
yeah, we don't need to again.
We don't need to do it again, so.
So would you recommend that we partner with you entirely or that we still do our own?
No, okay. I think we should. That's, I guess, what I'm saying is that we should all be partnering together.
Okay.
Right now, Dan Checkitz, who runs the July 3rd event, he and I, together with... Craig Black, we've been doing fundraising. We go out to businesses and things. But we'd love to have, for visits to businesses, we'd love to have others who want to volunteer to come with us and represent NSL Live. So why don't, we'll finish up our materials that we're intending to use, and then I'll just maybe work with you on what's going to happen. We're going to do that. We're going to start doing that in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Great.
So what it gives is like sponsorship levels, like you'd see from most charities. So like donate this much and you get golf passes or something. You know, like there's different, it's just to
be a little more organized. And again, businesses will be able to pick and choose. Not everybody cares about being part of the July 3rd thing. And other businesses love to be part of the 5K and, you know, so.
So one thing for this committee that we would like included then in the fundraising options is in-kind donations. So if they want to donate passes to Crossy Branch, we gave those away at the Halloween 3K, and those were really popular.
Great.
Or we gave away coupons from Bahama Breeze.
Yeah.
So
great.
If they're not interested in doing a sponsorship level or a cash donation, in-kind donations.
Yeah, we'll make sure that we have that as part of it. That's great.
Also,
great suggestion.
That we are interested in having food options there, like Bahama Breeze was. I talked to them about bringing a truck to have things. So if they want to be involved that way, that they have those as well.
Great.
Okay. So
yeah, and we don't mean to do if you want to work with businesses,
nope,
to get them to attend your event, that's probably a little different than what we're talking about. So in other words, if you want You know, if you want to have Lee's come and sell sausage and bratwurst. And
No, I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking more of in-kind donations.
Oh, if you want it.
So when I was talking to Bahama Breeze, it was for the Halloween 3K, and they were saying they had a mobile truck that they could bring and do hot chocolate.
But they
would be giving it away.
I see.
They're not. They weren't selling it.
Good. Okay.
So it's just for in-kind donations. It's not part of the
programming
for the event.
So.
In the past, our budget had always come from Big West Oil.
Chevron.
Mm-hmm. Are you contacting both of them as part of this fundraiser effort?
Yes, we
are. Okay. I have contacts with who is traditionally given it in the past.
Great.
That Matt's worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can coordinate instead of doing that on the side.
Okay, great.
It'd be nice to give them sponsorship, long too.
I agree.
Logos and
Matt's always in the past gone. He gave them, he gave them 5K entries. Three Kings entries and some other things, and said, "Hey, this is what comes with it. You can sit in the sponsored area of July 3rd."
Plus, they were on the shirts.
And so I think they had done things, but it wasn't really like a full this is your sponsor packet and you're a presidential sponsor and you get the 50 things that entails with.
I'll bring our little
presentation
up one.
Okay.
It's not official yet.
Yeah, maybe we could next time we could bring it and show you.
I love that idea.
I think that'll be really helpful to keep sponsors coming back year after year. But we'll want to be careful to protect the long-term sponsors we have had, like Wasatch Running. For the 5K and...
awards, and then the Bible.
The Bible Church, they have contacted us and said they aren't available. Yeah, they lost their pastor, so they've had some... difficulties.
Yeah, actually, if you have specific people that are sponsoring just your events and things, I don't want to step on your toes or go or replace you guys and go out and do that.
I was thinking more of Chevron, Big West businesses,
Chevron, Big West, and Lee's in particular. But if you have specific running athletic businesses that are sponsoring your 5K, don't let me talk to them. You guys are doing a better job than I am.
But it would be fun to have the.
But it would be good to have the packet
that we could walk in and be
absolutely.
We'd love to have you as a sponsor. Are you interested in any of this?
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Even if it's a lot smaller.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Where maybe they're just offering in kind, but Wasatch Running, their donation is enormous. It's nothing to sneeze at. They are great sponsors for
us. That's great. Okay. Well, we'll just coordinate with you guys and. Again, not stepping on your toes at all.
I think it's great.
So you know those stickers that you got, or I saw you with them, that we put on the posters when the Chevron logo was not printed correctly? Where did you get those stickers?
From Signature Press. They gave them to us to fix the posters.
Okay. Because with our efforts to print all of the posters early, I still want to be able to add those smaller donors on the poster. That mattered a lot for Crossy Ranch and Bahama Breeze for the 3K. And I was thinking we could just come in later and do those stickers. Like, just have a banner at the bottom that's open. We have 10 posters. So. All right. Anything else? All right. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.